We're never going to get bored of you. We're never going to get bored with you. We're never going to run out of goodness to discover and to experience, God. And so I pray that that truth, that reality, in the places where it doesn't line up with our everyday, that we would fall into line with the truth of your word, the truth of who you are, the truth of who we are in your eyes because of what you've done. And that would make all the difference. That would change us, God. That we would live in that blessing. And then from that, we would be a blessing to the world. That we would walk out the promise that you made to Abraham, that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him as you bless him. That would be our experience. That would be our day-to-day life. That would be our purpose, our mission on earth as individuals, as a church, God. Right now, we need your spirit as we look at your word to move from words on a page and from words coming out of my mouth to your word written on our hearts. We ask you to do that through your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. If you have a Bible, you can open up to Genesis chapter 15. We've picked up the pace here in Genesis, and we're on target to wrap up, to go through the remainder of Genesis with the closing of the year into the middle of January. And so our pace is increased. It's going to be rapid. And sometimes you just go slow and you go verse by verse and you just dive in deep. And sometimes you take the big picture in and you glean from it. And so today I'm tasked with preaching from Genesis 15 through 18:21. And that's 15, 16, 17, 18. That's 3.5 chapters. And so if you'll allow me, you know, I really only got, I just got stuck on Genesis 15, verse 2. And so if you'll allow me to go deep and then to summarize, if that's okay. And some of the diving in will be your responsibility, you know, through the week and as you look at this. So in Genesis chapter 15, we're in the story of Abraham. And, you know, chapter 15, verse 1 starts with, after these things. Okay, well, that begs the question, what things? And to go back a little bit, you know, we've had the Tower of Babel. God has confused the languages. You know what the people were trying to do? What were they trying to do? They were trying to make a name for themselves, which is significant because God tells Abraham that he's going to make his name great. He's going to make a name for him. So people, there's a contrast already of trying to achieve something in your own efforts versus receiving the promises of God and letting God act on your behalf. We already have that set up. And also, there were kings that had come. There were a battle of kings. They had attacked, and I'm summarizing. They'd plundered Lot and people. They'd taken people. They'd taken treasure. And Abraham pursues them with his trained men, and an overwhelming, against overwhelming odds, he has a small force of trained men, and he tracks them down, he recaptures the stolen plunder of people and treasure, he brings it back, and we have at the end of chapter 14, the kings go down to meet him at the valley of Sheba, I don't know Hebrew well, the king's valley, Melchizedek, King of Salem. Salem means peace. The Prince of Peace, the King of Peace, comes. And I thought this was really interesting because Melchizedek is a type of Christ, and you can dive into that in the book of Hebrews. He brought out bread and wine. And Melchizedek was a priest of the Most High God. So here's some advice. When a king who's a priest of the Most High God offers you bread and wine, you go to that table, you know. Jesus, who's our king and the high priest, he offers us bread and wine, his body and his blood. Go to that table. You want to go to that table. Is there an amen? Do you guys get you want to go to that table. You want to partake of that bread and that wine, the sacrifice of Jesus. Abraham, he blesses Abraham, and Abraham gives him a tenth. And the king of Sodom offers Abraham the goods of the plunder, and Abraham refuses to take it. He says, I have lifted my hand to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I would not take thread or a sandal strap or anything that's yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. So he refuses to take the treasure that he recovered. He's putting his faith in God's hands. So he had created enemies, and he'd rejected treasure. Abraham's in a vulnerable position at the beginning of chapter 15. And so he's turned down resources in favor of trusting God, and he's created enemies by tracking those kings down, and he's in a vulnerable position. And this is where we get in chapter 15. So if you've ever been in a vulnerable position, if you feel exposed, you feel like I'm in dangerous times, I'm in a dangerous situation, it seems that there's enemies surrounding me, wanting to tackle me, wanting to take me down, wanting to pick me off, and my resources so far are perhaps inadequate. Have you ever been there? It feels like you're vulnerable, you don't have the resources, you don't have the protection you need. And some of you may be feeling that. We live in somewhat uncertain times, you know, but we forget the blessings of the time we live in. Today, I woke up and I went to the bathroom. It's maybe too much information. And the toilet was just a little bit cold. And I thought, I need a toilet seat warmer. Okay? Too much information. And then I thought, you know, my house is climate controlled. My roof keeps me dry. You know, and every time it rains, most of you probably are free from this worry. But having put roofs on houses and having, you know, I have other houses that I'm responsible for, I get nervous when it rains because, you know, it's like, are the roofs going to keep people dry? But most of you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about staying dry. You don't have to worry about staying warm. You know, we might be concerned about the quality of food that our kids eat. We don't have to be concerned, by and large, at the quantity of food that our kids have. We live in a time of abundance. And yet, despite all that, and probably, definitely, the most abundance, we have so few concerns compared to the history of humanity. And yet, we're not free from fear of tomorrow. And we're not free from worry. And we're not free from concern about our resources. And we all come from different economic situations, I realize. But by and large, pretty much all of us have a house, all of us have a car, all of us have more clothes than we need, more food than we need. And we need to remember that and be thankful. Yeah, Abraham's vulnerable, and that's why I said I couldn't get past verse 2, because I hope and my prayer was that this would be a word for you. This would be something that, like I said, would go from the page through my voice, and God would write it on your heart. This is what he said to Abraham. Okay, chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not. That's a good word. Fear not, Abram. I'm your shield. Your reward shall be very great. That's the ESV. Some versions say, fear not, I'm your shield, I am your very great reward, your exceedingly great reward. God himself is your reward. Now imagine if you could believe that and you could embrace that. God tells him not to fear, I am your shield, I am your reward. Now if we walked in light of that truth, what's he speaking of? He says, I'm your shield. I'm your security. I'm your security. I'm your protection. The things that you're worried about that could happen in the middle of the night, that could happen tomorrow, that could happen November 3rd, that could happen at the turn of the year, that could happen whatever in the next decade, I am your shield. The concerns you have for your resources, your future, your significance, your accomplishments, what's going to happen? God says, I am your reward. Good word. Thank you. That's a good word. Imagine the life that you could live. The first two words, God says, fear not. Imagine how you could live if you had no concern for security and no concern for your resources. You know, if you study psychology, I was trained as an educator. I took educational psychology. You have a